Welcome to the Nyack School Board meeting for Tuesday, April 4th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Good evening, everyone. I've got a short report today. First off, I'd like to congratulate Jim and all our staff members for the community forum that was held last week at the Nyack Center. Anyone who was there could not help but be really impressed with, one, the turnout of our staff. I think most, if not all, administrators were there. Great leadership and direction at the top, so thank you so much for that. The excitement of the teachers, their enthusiasm in presenting their material was some of the best I've ever seen. I just want to congratulate you, the admin, for the leadership and the staff who turned out. We had a pretty good turnout, and it was well received from everything I could see.
Thank you.
So thanks and congrats to the team. On that front, there was an article in the Loha News, I think it was today, recognizing, which we saw last week at the forum, so it was good to get the recognition in the Journal News for the middle school 7B team who had an augmented and virtual reality project. Again, the display of enthusiasm. In the article, you listen not only to the enthusiasm of the staff, but the kids as well who were part of that. My son, he's now in eighth grade, but he had two members of that 7B team last year, and I can tell you, they're outstanding teachers, as are so many in our district. So again, congratulations to that team for the recognition, and well done all around. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, I'm going to request, Madam President, if we can kindly step out of order of our agenda and shift focus to the recognition tonight. We have a number of students here tonight that the board will be recognizing in an effort to get them home so they have no excuse not to get their homework completed. I thought maybe we could move forward with that portion of the program.
Okay, that's okay.
I would ask our board president and vice president to step forward. They will be handing out the certificates of merit. Is Beth Sheehan here tonight?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Why don't you come up as well? And what I'd like to do, our first student that we're going to be recognizing is in fact Haley Weiss, who is the first place winner of the New York Stock Exchange. So Haley, if you could come forward. What I would like to do, if Beth is comfortable doing it, I can certainly make some comments on some of the information about it, but Stock Award, but knowing you have been directly involved, I know you actually have some other awards to provide an issue well-deserved to Haley as well. If you can kindly take the microphone, maybe just make a couple of comments about the experience of the New York Stock Exchange game.
Okay. Hello, my name is Susan.
Yes.
Okay, Beth Sheehan. I am a business teacher up at the high school, and we teach a financial management course for 13 years now. And before I say anything more, thank you to the board, administration, parents, students, any faculty and staff here for giving us this opportunity to recognize Haley. 13 years now, we've been playing the stock market game in the state of New York. Right now, currently this year, there's somewhere between 60 and 70 schools that participate with 1,000 to 2,000 students. 13 years, we've come close, but never a winner until this year. Haley Weiss, a ninth grader, with a few stock tips under her little bucket of tricks, came in first place for the entire state of New York.
Wow.
Great win. For Haley and for Nyack, it was glorious. There's a number of awards. First, I would like to give Haley her little gold medals. And then, of course, a certificate from the New York State Stock Market game. And you might notice that SIFMA underwrites and supports this game. And SIFMA is the Securities Industries Markets Association. And they encourage young people to be involved in their future, their financial future, and across all age groups and across all different types of students. So it's encouraged for all to participate. So I award this to you, Haley. In addition to the awards, Haley already received a 16-gigabyte flash drive and a little bag. For teenagers, there's always a T-shirt. So here's a T-shirt. Here is an engraved pen set that has been prepared for you, as well as, again, for a teenager, stock market earbuds.
Earbuds. That's great.
And of course, you have a little scratch pad. And your mouse pad.
Oh,
and I believe that is it. The school, the high school, on Haley's behalf, Haley, can you help me? Great. Is receiving a flag to hang in there, hopefully, on its
printed upside down.
Yeah. So this will be presented to Ms. Saeva up at the high school all of her support for the business department and for enabling us to participate in the stock market game and other financial games and incentives such as that. And I thank you.
If you can leave your business card.
What was your best pick?
My best pick? The CRC. I actually got a tip from my dad.
Listen, whatever you can do.
That's nice. Thanks, Dad.
Congratulations.
That's great. Yeah. Really nice.
I'm going to actually call this next three of our high school students up together collectively. So with Sloan Peterson, Haley Robb, and Kaylee Travers, come on up. As you might suspect by their wardrobe tonight, these outstanding young ladies are being recognized for the highest achievement in Girl Scouts of America, and that is the Gold Award. And I can tell you, raising four daughters who never reached that level, I know how much work is involved in that process, and it really is amazing that we have three students from the same school district that have achieved that. What I'd like to do is just spend a moment, if I may, ladies, to tell the audience and the board a little bit about the projects that they were involved in. First of all, I know our Board of Education is familiar with Kaylee's project, which is making a memorial, a memorable memorial. It took place at Valley Cottage Elementary School. Kaylee refurbished the monuments at the school, and she spoke with students about the veterans and led them in painting pavers for the monuments. She prepared a care package for the veterans and held a dedication ceremony on Veterans Day, and I believe also enabled us to construct a new flagpole as well. So congratulations to you, Kaylee, on that outstanding project. Sloan, Jones Project, undercover artist, involved providing art programs and supplies to students of school districts that have had art removed from their curriculums due to budget cuts. I'm pleased to report that our Board of Education is not amongst those school districts. To accomplish this, Sloan volunteered at the Summer Spot Day Camp and led campers in art projects and programs. She fundraised to buy cameras for the camp to use in the future photography projects. Sloan also collected used crayons from all three elementary schools in our district and worked with younger scouts to make new crayons. The new crayons were given to students at Nyack Center and Family Resource Centers. What an outstanding project, Sloan. Congratulations to you. Finally, Haley's project. Haley's project was Pack a Nyack Backpack, which is actually familiar because I actually live in Packanack Lake, so Pack a Nyack is interesting. Haley organized school supply drives at the middle and high school. She collected new and used supplies over the course of last summer and filled her entire garage, I'm sure your parents were thrilled, with donated and gently used school supplies and backpacks. The supplies were donated to the Nyack Center and distributed to students at their annual back-to-school barbecue in August. Nyack Center serves children, school-age children, 98% of whom live at or below the federal guidelines for poverty. All of the children who attend before and after school programs are Nyack School District children. And again, on behalf of the Board of Education, we want to recognize the three of you for your outstanding achievement with the Gold Award. Congratulations.
Congratulations to all.
Any comments from the board?
Well done.
Just appreciate all the work that all of you do as scouts. And I was able to attend the event that, with Kaylee's project at Valley Cottage. I think Trustee Maraschino was there as well. It was a great community bonding thing, as well as a lovely project. So I just wanted to thank you for that. It was great. And thanks for the stock tip.
I just want to say congratulations. And I was, as a veteran, I was particularly struck, Kaylee, when you presented that. I remember that meeting very well. But I want to congratulate all three of you. Thank you so much for your contribution.
And I will just say, congratulations, so impressive. I just started leading a daisy troop last Friday. So I am going to talk about you girls. Let me know if you want to come and inspire my daisies. Because, you know, my older daughter's troop stopped in fifth grade, but now this, it's such an inspiration to see all the work that you did. And, yeah, really super impressive. And, Haley, very amazing that you did this and not only won this, but as a girl. You know, right? This is finance. It's like 90%, I feel like, yeah. Men in this field. So, and I know I've seen you on the baseball field with all the boys, right? All your growing up, I feel like it's really just so proud of you. And it's just nice to see you being such a strong female leader in this community. So,
I did do a year of daisy troops myself, and none of my girls are in Girl Scouts anymore. So I hope you have better luck with the daisies. I don't know if you noticed, when you were standing up there, I was looking at your backs because I wanted to see all of your badges and to see all the different work and the different projects that you've done in order to get those awards. And I mean, I'm familiar with it more on the Boy Scout level and how much of a commitment that is. And it's like, it's amazing that we have people in this community that are focusing on these community projects and making this part of your experience, and I think it's just brilliant. And Haley, I gotta say this, I'm sure you hear this all the time, you know, you were in Christina's class, I think it was first and second grade, and I remember you and you were like this little thing. And now you're like this stock genius. Either I'm getting really old or I'm not gonna admit that. I'm gonna admit the fact that I'm incredibly proud to be part of a district that gives kids opportunities to advance and learn these kind of things. And look what's coming out of our schools. It's really very exciting.
Congratulations to all the winners, and it just is amazing. My son takes that stock market class, and I don't think he finished near first. As we tried to tell him not to take the big risk, he likes to bet big, and didn't quite work out. So, Haley, great job. I just want to just again give a shout out to the parents of all the students. I know what hard work it is, and to our administration and staff again. Just my son in that same class, just to hear him talk about the market and the at-home conversations we have, it's just amazing the inspiration that the staff and faculty give to our students in this district, and I feel really fortunate to be a part of it. So congratulations, ladies. Girl power.
Indeed. Congratulations.
To the students and the parents, we're going to continue our meeting. You're welcome to stay, or you can go home and get your homework done, whatever. Thank you very much for coming out.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for the Girl Scout cookies.
Yes, cookies.
Please leave the cookies.
Congratulations.
Bye. Bye, Gordon. Bye. Bye. Dr. Montesano, it's interesting that you know they would around that financial management course, because I think I mentioned this the last time, the only gripe I have that my son brought is that there's so many electives and he can't do them all. And this happened to be one class that he was grappling with that he really, really wanted to do,
yeah,
but couldn't fit it in with other priorities. But it's just a, you know, testament to the offerings that we have and how fantastic it is that kids have this sort of choice. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for those earlier comments as well. I just have a couple of, just two real quick things. Well, actually, one, I just want to thank, and I know we have members of Inspire NIAC here at the board table, but what a great evening that was enjoyed, and I know we had a lot of staff members there, a nice crowd there, and recognizing that it's a night in which people can socialize, have fun, but at the same time, and you know, what a great cause, you know, the idea that those funds are going to go directly to our schools to help further learning experience for all of our kids is just fantastic. So thank you for your commitment to that program. Two quick things. One is one of the actions, which is one of the reasons why the agenda is being amended. We learned earlier this week, and it was finalized just this afternoon, that the state will be providing for us through the New York State Thruway Authority a $300,000 grant, which the board will be accepting this evening, action item 5.3. This, I do want to commend Carlene Millsap for putting forward this grant application, and a lot of work on her part went into navigating to get us to the finish line. These funds are going to be directly used. Probably many people in the community are not aware there's a pathway on Route 9W that years ago when the high school, the current high school was built, this is back in the 1990s, at that time, that Board of Education entered an agreement to basically build a pathway because there was really no access sidewalk area for students to get to the high school. So the agreement was to allow the board to do that. It was made with the Department of Transportation along with the village of Upper Nyack. However, part of that agreement, basically the Board of Education in perpetuity would maintain that area. And it's if you know where that spot is, it's just past Nyack Hospital. There is a large drop off, and also built there was a retaining wall. And we know that retaining wall does need a good amount of attention. So this grant is going to enable us to address that area to ensure that it's in good shape for years to come, and at the same time not burden the Board of Education with the added expenditures that would have otherwise been involved. So we thank the New York State Thruway and again Carlene for her efforts in securing this this wonderful funding. Secondly, we also I want to compliment our Director of Bilingual Education, Audrey Cabell, who has put an application to receive a $20,000 grant award from University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, is providing the district with $20,000 of funding to participate in the Excel teacher training program. This identifies school districts that have increasing populations of bilingual ENL students. And it's really to have access to high-quality teacher training through UCLA. So I again certainly want to commend Audrey. We look forward to this project moving forward as we go forward. It's a two-year grant that the district will be involved in.
That's so fantastic.
That's my report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Montesano. Our student rep isn't with us today, so we'll go straight into the board reports. So, Trustee Rock.
Thank you, President Hughes. Again, congratulations to the winners of those awards earlier. Fantastic. Also, Inspire NIAC was a great event. Over 250 attendees, and we raised a lot of money again. So hoping next year we get to present another check to the district for the hard work done. Also, the spring sports have started. I was able to attend a couple of different games out there, seeing the use of the new field, girls lacrosse, boys lacrosse, JV, and varsity. It's just great to see the new fields at use, and good luck to all the spring student athletes. Look forward to the black and red spring dinners where we get to congratulate a few of them for their accomplishments. So that's all I have for my report.
Thank you, Terry. Trustee Irvin.
Hi, yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention, at the last board meeting, I said I was going to get myself involved in OCADA, and I did. I went to the meeting. There was a presentation on the Narcan drug that they gave out to everybody there for people who were experiencing some kind of heroin overdose. I had mentioned to you that I had a friend who had come in for the weekend and had mentioned to me that even though she was involved in a community organization to work with heroin addicts, sort of under her nose, her son had gotten addicted to heroin. And she was telling me that they administered this a number of times to try to revive her son who had overdosed in her living room. So I was really keen on watching and seeing that. We had a very interesting discussion, eye-opening in terms of the opioids and the pain prescription becoming the gateway for this, and how easy it is for people to obtain heroin. It's shocking. I wasn't able to do it, but last Monday night there was also a seminar at the high school where they had an organization came in and set up a teenage classroom, and people were invited to come in and see if you could figure out clues that the kid in that room was somehow addicted either to alcohol,
it's a teenage
or drugs.
Bedroom, wasn't it?
Yeah, teenage bedroom. And I wasn't able to do it because I had another commitment, but I think the more that we talk to our kids and continue to talk to our kids about this stuff, even past the DARE programs, which I think the elementary kids they're keyed in, they speak those words and they know that, but then, you know, it's really coming to crunch time for the kids in junior high and high school. So I'm very happy to be able to help and support and get involved in that organization. And we had a lot of people from the community, not just members of the district. I did have a great time at Casino Night, but of course spent too much money.
The district thanks you.
I get sort of caught in the bidding wars, and a few of my friends were telling me, you got to stop bidding on the purse, because you know the purse, that's a principle. Turns out I lost the bid, and it was okay because it was probably more than double the price of the actual purse. But It was fun. And I did go to that community forum, and I have to say, I walked away from that community forum with all the technology, and I talked to some of you guys that are back there about the projects that you were doing, and I just walked away saying, you know, I never had anything like this when I was in school. Nothing. I mean, I didn't go to school in New York. I went to school in Pennsylvania, and we didn't have, you know, it was a different kind of mentality in terms of some of the things they were emphasizing, but nothing like this. And I just, you know, on the elementary level, when they're explaining to me how these kids are trying to design a way to get the tiger out of the jungle without putting a rope around his neck or putting him in a cage. Okay. It's just mind-boggling. And these kids and the teachers are so charged up. Somebody made a comment to me that the atmosphere in that place was electric. Mm-hmm. And it completely was. And kudos to all of you guys who were there. A bunch of you who are in the room now tonight were there. I saw your presentations. And it was just, it's great. I mean, just so excited that we have this kind of enthusiasm from our staff. And it's coming down to our kids who are really learning to think about this project-based learning that we're so much emphasizing. I do want to say I'm getting involved. I have all this time now that I'm not working, right? I'm getting involved in another event. I got an email today about Empty Bowls, which is on April 20th, right after spring break. And I have a really great recipe for mushroom soup. So I wrote back to Tom Burns and I said, can I do mushroom soup? Because I love it, but I don't know anybody. He said, yes, bring the mushroom soup, come to the event. So if you want to come on 420, come to Empty Bowls and have some of my Martha Stewart mushroom soup. I promise you it is calorie laden, but it is very good. So please come and support Empty Bowls on April 20th. And that is my report. Thank you.
Is that the event that they also have bowls that are made by the art
yes.
students
yes.
and decorated,
yes.
right?
Yeah,
yeah I actually
yep.
got one of those bowls and got some. So it's a really great event.
Yep.
Really, really great event. All right. Thanks very much, Trustee. Mm-hmm. Trustee Maraschino.
All right. So wonderful Upper Nyack art display out in the hallway. So thanks to all our students and Upper Nyack art teacher who pulled it together. I did have the opportunity to attend the follow-up meeting to the Undoing Racism workshops, which was really impressive. You know, it's essentially volunteer because the faculty that are coming on their own time. It's after school at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in this room. And it was just full of a really good turnout of people who had attended the Undoing Racism workshop, and it was great to really kind of be able to debrief and be with people who had shared a similar experience to you and talk about it. So that was great. I also attended the district community forum. Similar comments to Leanne. You know, it was really, you hear about all the projects sometimes when we're here in the board meetings and we get presentations, but really being able to see everything and learn about, see the project lead the way, what they're doing at different grade levels and see the different pieces of, you know, equipment and the iPads and the Legos that are being used and trying out the virtual reality goggles that my seventh grader did get to participate in that day. He talked a ton about it. It was amazing. So yeah, I think the community forum was a great opportunity to just really see firsthand what's going on and just understand it better. So that was great. And then just a tiny bit on the legislative front, I realized that, you know, Rockland County School Board Association really sends out a lot of legislative information. And I think Leanne and I probably are the only two to get them. Sometimes I forget that maybe we want to share it with you guys. So a number of members from Rockland County School Board Association, they try to meet with all of our different legislators. You know, they recently met with Ken Zabrowski and just kind of shared a little bit of an update on the different things that they discussed. Things like maybe changing the legislative breakfast to an evening meeting in the future. You know, they talked to him about the tax cap and foundation aid. They mentioned that the education tax credit has no real backing this year, according to Ken Zabrowski. So that was good. So I think that, you know, Leanne and I can probably just forward that email to you guys. And then there was another interesting email that came from one of the members of Rockland County School Board Association. It was, it's a document that outlines what the Education Trust of New York has identified as four of the educational equity issues that they think policymakers should address in order to ensure a high-quality education for all New York students, especially low-income students and students of color from early childhood through college completion. So it was just a great document. I mean, Dr. Montesano always does a great job of explaining all these things, but essentially it talked about foundation aid, early childhood education, teacher equity and support, and tuition-free college at SUNY and CUNY institutions. And it's just a neat document that just kind of condensed all the information on the issue, gave their take on it, and sort of you know, talked about the equity points and sort of what's in the budget now. So I think I just, right when I sat down in that room before I shared it with everybody, so you will have that in your emails. So that was really it, and just a big thank you. I did not get to go to casino night. We had a family commitment, 16th birthday party, but thank you to all the committee members for that organized that amazing event and all the work that they do throughout the year. So that's it.
Thank you very much, Jim.
I just had a question with regard to your update in regard to information we got from Judy Weiner from the Laurel Hudson Council. It's critical that we get an approval by mid-April.
24th.
Okay.
April 24th is the deadline.
So she will continue to update us, because otherwise none of the school districts can really set their budgets without where we're going to know with how much foundation aid we're going to get. Is that kind of the thought?
Yeah, I was going to touch on it a little bit later tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't want to then preempt you then. Okay.
But yeah,
I'm just curious about that.
It's an issue.
It's going to be an issue. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Casino night. I hadn't been to that in a couple times, and this time I decided almost at the last minute I would go, and I think that. We need to really look at Dr. Gregory and get her into some kind of she was at that table.
Oh, she never left.
And she never, she left with a 52-inch television. And it's like, we have to really, you know, get her into some kind of program. Yeah. You know, I also want to tattle a little bit.
We should get into her program.
Yes, exactly.
Lisa Ritalik was near you. She did very well.
And Principal Rechenberger actually helped me learn how to gamble at we have a number of experts in our district.
She does chair our master.
I was doing well for a while, but no, thank you to Inspire NIAC. It was a really, really fun event. So glad to see the community come out in support of that event, and wonderful benefits, including, you know, the Mac Lab and other things to come. So I was really glad I was able to, and a good board turnout for that event as well. So that was that. In terms of the forum, I really enjoyed the Ed Talk that you did, Jim. That was really good. That opening film was very inspiring and really gave everyone in the room a lot to think about. And to Leanne's point, it was really electric in that room with everybody there. Great board turnout. I think we were all there. And I stopped at three different booths. Ben Turner was very impressive and gave me kind of a really good update on what we're doing with robotics and how that's mandatory, I believe, for the sixth grade, and I believe it's going to be mandatory for eighth grade as well. I think he said that. He was indicating that the program, the robotics program, was going to grow so rapidly that hopefully we would have, because I'd forgotten who our science chair was, and he pointed her out, that we would probably end up with a chair of the robotics program. That's how big and expensive that it's becoming. I also stopped at and spoke briefly with our ELL booth, and this is the first article from our high school newspaper entirely in Spanish. So she was very, Audrey Cabell was very proud of that. I picked that up, and just the wonderful things that are coming out of our EL program, and kudos to her and her team. I got to meet one of her practitioners and I didn't really understand the pull in, push in, and how that works. One of the things, though, that she referenced was that, and I don't know if this is going to be part of our proposed budget, is that we're I was not aware, we don't have support services for ELL in terms of guidance, in terms of just other support services. So that was just something I thought, wow, you know, we have this great program, but you know, there's always going to be a need. So that was a real eye opener. And then lastly, I stopped at the chair of our social studies department. He's very inspiring, Mr. DeLeo. And picked up some of his brochures and what we're doing in that area. So on the kindergarten level, needs and wants inquiry, at the seventh grade level, women's rights, seventh grade social studies curriculum, United States history, sixth grade level, Islamic Spain, the Eastern Hemisphere, ninth high school, social studies department course offerings. And on the back, some of the newer courses that he pointed out, criminal law, introductory psychology, race relations in the United States, women's studies. It was just fascinating to talk to Tom DeLeo. He was just really, really inspiring. So it's a great event. I know that it will continue, but really thank you to Dr. Gregory, Dr. Montesano, the entire team, and what you're doing is really unprecedented in our district. I think everybody feels the same thing. Then I was also wanting to highlight the SOAR experience we took as a result of the college aspiration commitment, a group of middle school students. We did a day trip to Stony Brook University. And Stony Brook University made you feel like you wanted to go back to college. It was the day of the week where there was a lot of rain and a lot, and then all of a sudden Wednesday, everything just opened up. So it was sunny, the weather was great. We had most of our mentors were in attendance. And the kids were really excited. One of the highlights of that particular tour was the woman who facilitated the opener. We had the kids in one of the main auditoriums, and her name was L'Oreal Ellington. She did an amazing PowerPoint for the kids. Now, mind you, this is middle school kids, and you know they get antsy. The attention span is a little, you know. But she had them captive in that room. And so when you got to the component of the trip where they just had to kind of talk openly about college, what do you think of when you hear the word college? Who do you know who went to college? Where? My mom, my grandmother, my uncle, my cousin. It was fascinating to see their touch points as far as, you know, who in their immediate circle went to college. Why is college going to import to you so I can get a better job? Some of the things from the 20th century model versus the 21st century model. You know, I want to learn about myself. And that's what the facilitator kind of backed them into. Like, college is about really learning about yourself. You know, yes, there's an end point as far as a job and all of that. So that was really fascinating. They gave everybody one of these. It's almost like show and tell. Again, all the kids got this, you know, one of these little with, you know, advertisements from Stony Brook University. But Stony Brook University, I found, was it's diverse in my mind. And the other highlight was going to the athletic facility, seeing the athletes who happened to be in practice, and looking at a $20 million renovated facility, which was phenomenal. And there are a number of young people that attended that have aspirations of being a basketball player, so it couldn't have been a more perfect venue for them to see. And then we had lunch, which was interesting. And then the dean of the school came in. It was very impressive for him to come. And he talked to the young people like young people. So what do you think about SWAT? He wasn't selling them. He was like, so what do you think? What impressed you? The kids were very reticent to speak at first, but he got them to really open up. So I would easily say in that group of kids, I would expect to see at least four, if not, you know, more, attending Stony Brook University at some time in their futures. So it was really, really, the bus ride was very interesting. The bus ride, 2 hours in a small bus with middle schoolers, listening to their music, listening to keep them in their seats. That was an experience. But it was really, you know, a credit to Adal, Regis, and Carl, who are the founders of it. And thank you to our legislators who made it possible for the kids to take this trip. And I do hope that they continue it. So very, very good experience. And I would do it again if I had the opportunity. So that is my report.
Thank you. Trustee Mark.
President Hughes.
Thank you. Just in just simply to echo fellow board members in having attended Inspire NIAC's event and thanking the organization for making it fun to give up a lot of money in a very good cause. thanks for the support, as always, continuing to the school district. It's a great impact, and thank you very much for that. And also to thank Jim and the staff for a great night at the community forum. Your presentation was great, and the teachers and the staff were all highly motivated. And it's true, there was a nice spark in the room. And I thank you for that. That's my report.
Thank you. Trustee Bender.
President Hughes.
Sir.
This is what it's like to go last and have every other trustee.
Welcome to my world.
Every other talk about everything that you wanted to talk about.
So I was in that seat the whole time, young man.
So I'll be short and in sort of bullet point format. Congratulations again to the recipients of the awards tonight. Congratulations to those who have their artwork displayed out in the hallway. I went to the community forum as well, had a very lively discussion with some of the technology committee members. I refuse to spoil the things they'll talk about a little bit later, but suffice it to say, if I went to school during this time, I think my career path would be markedly different than it was. Not that I'm unhappy with it, but I just working with robotics and Legos, and I think it would have changed my direction. I know it would have changed my direction. So with that is my report, and we can move on to the rest of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Trustee Bender.
Lego set.
We know what to get you for Christmas.
That's right? It.
Legos.
We have one. Dr. Montesano, any response to citizens' prior proposals, questions in the chat?
No.
Thank you. Peter Stone, are you in the house? Please step forward. Peter, if you could take the mic and say your name for the podcast.
Hi, I'm Peter Stone, father of a middle school student, actually three middle school students. Here just to speak about one of them now. I was told actually by one of the board members years ago that the board doesn't always know some of the difficulties that parents run into unless somebody comes in to their attention. So that's kind of what I'm here for. I wasn't exactly hoping for a resolution of this today. I was just hoping for your attention and perhaps your influence going further. One of my sons is very good at math, which is a good thing, you would think. He's had a very hard time of it because of this. He's currently a sixth grader taking seventh grade math. That was a unique experience to get in there, but he's there. And he's doing phenomenal. Matter of fact, his comments are, he wishes it was harder. We're also talking about, when I bring my kids to Barnes & Noble, I say, pick a book. His last two books was on the Fibonacci code and on advanced game theory. He's this kid. I have another child who's a student in middle school, and he's in advanced math, and I know what an advanced student looks like. This is not the student I'm talking about. Anyway, so I approached the principal, who then I met with the principal and the math chairperson and Dr. Gregory, and we've kind of come to a sort of a working resolution. The working resolution is my son can, with my wife, my family, the school, but we've kind of worked this, that he'll either be skipped an entire grade, which he can certainly handle, his grades reflect, won't be the issue, or come eighth grade, we won't have math, or he'll repeat the class in substance, except for a piece that will be added new. How that comes about is eighth grade math is either eighth grade or eighth grade with the added piece to take the regents. If you do that in seventh grade, the middle school has the capacity to give you the next region's class as an eighth grader. I'm in education, and I understand the limitations of budgets and schedules and timing and things like that. But, you know, I'm here, I'm standing up for my son, which is what I'm supposed to do. And I kind of think you have an opportunity to have a really rare kid that you have an opportunity to foster into a much higher level of math. Everyone talks about STEM, and that's wonderful, but here's somebody who could really benefit from more, and I'd like to see if perhaps we can make that happen. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter Stump. Mr. Stump, sorry. Peter. I'm glad you brought this to our attention. I understand you've spoken to Dr. Gregory, which is good. Dr. Sam, I see you taking notes. I assume you will follow up on this. Okay. Peter, thank you so much. Okay, so we've done recognition. Dr. Montesano, workshop.
Yes, what I'd like to do this time is move to what I believe will be a very exciting presentation by members of our technology committee. We've had a phenomenal group of very dedicated, many of which were there in the room the other night down at the NIAC Center, where we have embarked on development of a formalized technology plan for the district, a particular focus on instructional technology and its role in the pedagogical practices within the district itself. I'm going to be introducing the consultant that we've been working with, Boyd Adelson, who's here with us tonight. But as just a backdrop, as you have seen us go through this process in the past, whether the guidance program, the bilingual ENL program, we always begin any formalized process of a curriculum review of understanding where we are now in our current place, trying to cull out the assumptions and perceptions that many of us have. So Boyd, a year ago, spent time in the district really just understanding everything from our inventory of our infrastructure, the number of technology tools, bandwidth, cabling, etc., as well as meeting with teachers, meeting with administrators, school leaders, and understanding current practices, observing classes, and so forth. From that came out of it an outgrowth, much like you have seen with regard to our previous areas that we've focused, of a beginning of a blueprint. And that began then by expanding and bringing staff members representing all cross sections of this district across all school buildings, grade levels, departments, including librarians in the district. And these are people that really have a good understanding of the vision of the district in terms of that new logo that you see behind you, in terms of reimagining our schools and what we believe the types of competencies and skills our students really, we think they need moving into the 21st century. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about school personnel. I believe we're talking about the community as well, because as you know, we interacted through surveys, et cetera, and got great sample size from the community in formulating this vision for the district. So tonight, Boyd is going to introduce the work of this committee. And this group has really been extraordinarily dedicated. They've done site visits to a number of locations. They've had some heated, passionate discussions about the direction of the district. At the same time, they represented an extraordinary knowledge base. You have some very talented staff members. And to me, I guess I should make this comment, but it seems to me the younger they are, the more they know in terms of their experiences and the world that they live in. So I guess that was probably not as appropriate. I'm sorry, Frankie. That was you look young. So tonight, what they'll do is introduce this plan to you, which, by the way, will include, as you're aware of, several years ago, the state of New York, voters of New York, voted a $2 billion smart investment bond to invest in New York public schools in this particular area. NIAC allocation, I think, is about $926,000. This has to be a very thoughtful use of these fundings, because this is kind of a one-time wonder, you know, in terms of what we're going to be doing. And as you know, a lot of technology application hardware in particular has a very short shelf life. So tonight is just the beginning point. What we plan to do as a follow-up is to hold or conduct a few community hearings or public hearings for the community, to have our community members weigh in on the plan that we're proposing. Eventually, we're going to come back to the board with some of the feedback that's been collected and look for the board to approve the plan going forward, so that we can begin to get access to some of those funds that are available to us, begin our budgeting process, begin to line up professional development, and move this process along, because I really do think what you're going to see here tonight really is a game changer with regard to further supporting what already is a good foundation in the NIAC Public Schools. So with that, I'm going to bring Boyd up. I don't know if any other members of the group are just there in the bleachers, or they're going to be participating. And Mary Ellen, if you can just get that front bank of lights off, it'll show up a little better. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Montesano. Introduction, a lot of pressure. I hope it's going to be exciting, as you promised.
Well, you clearly haven't been to some of the other presentations that we've
got
here.
Okay. Bar's not that high. Again, my name is Boyd Adelson. I work with IPE. I've been working in the NIAC School District for a number of years in different capacities, and I was lucky last year to conduct a technology study, as Dr. Montesano mentioned, and I learned quite a bit about the history of technology in the district and what we're trying to accomplish right now. And then I was fortunate to have the opportunity to work with our technology committee, who is a very diverse group of educators from the entire district. It's quite a large committee, but very representative of all the different areas within the school district that impact and are impacted by technology. Technology has become a crucial element in education now and affects so many different areas. So having all these different people involved, and again, you mentioned the electric feeling at the community night the other night, they have so much passion about this. And yes, our meetings, which took place in this very room, were often very passionate. Lots of debating going on, lots of different viewpoints, but worked very well together. And I believe we were able to come to some very good recommendations and some very good ideas that I'd like to present tonight. Our mission as a technology committee is, of course, to support the goals and the strategy of the overall district. And the curriculum that is created by the educators and the staff of the district to support those goals, and also to meet and exceed and go beyond the standards set by the state of New York. So it's our goal as a technology committee to make sure that the right decisions are made regarding the acquisition and the deployment of that technology. So we created a new vision, new technology vision. I'd just like to point out some key elements of our technology vision. In the first paragraph, we talk about a learning experience where students have individual access to technology during the entire school day. Again, this is probably very different from what many of us remembered going to school. I was having a conversation earlier today with the librarians from the district, and we were reminiscing about the state-of-the-art library technology back when I used to work in the library, and that was microfiche. Electricity was there just to light the light bulb, so you can look at the microfiche. And it has changed quite a bit since that time. To continue to support and further, we foresee technology that infrastructure that is modern, robust, and flexible. And that flexible speaks to that change and that rapid rate of change. And we know that it's going to continue to change going forward.
And we need to expect that and be able to adapt to that and support that kind of change and not be left behind by this ongoing rate of change. Designed to exceed curricular needs and goals, spoke to that before. Safe, secure, and respectful of individual identity and privacy. Definitely something we need to now be concerned in this world of always being connected and this world of social media and every student and every staff member, their identity and their privacy when working with this technology. And probably the most important aspect of our vision, that will prepare students for the technology experiences they encounter in their personal and professional lives after graduation, making sure they have those 21st century skills to be able to succeed after they leave the Nyack Public School District. The Smart Schools Bond Act, as Dr. Montesano mentioned earlier, we're very fortunate to be the recipient of a pretty large chunk of money that we can apply for to use for some of our goals. So this was definitely motivating us and inspiring us with some of our ideas. And what I think is probably the most exciting idea to all of us at our technology committee meetings was a reimagining of the Nyack Public School libraries. We wanted to think of ways to make our libraries a hub of learning within the school district. We wanted to create flexible and reconfigurable barrier-free spaces. This is the project, this is probably the recommendation that we have that we feel is going to showcase all the other recommendations that we're making. They're going to showcase, kind of like our Innovation Now Community Forum did that for that one night, but we're going to want to transform our libraries into the same kind of showcase, the same kind of a community space that will invite the public in, invite all the different facets of the school system into this area. Creating an inviting, light, and airy, and fun environment to really bring many different kinds of learning, formal, social, individual. We wanted to have the best resources to speak to the showcase, to show off the 21st century technologies, to kind of be a pilot for some of the things that we want to do in other parts of the district. A collaborative space. Mr. Cora, principal in Upper Nyack School, we were speaking earlier about the work that we've been doing with the Learner Active Classroom and the progress that we've been making in this year, especially in the elementary school, but in previous years in the middle school and the high school. And we'd like to see how the library can be a space that can really bring all these different teachers together and work in this centerpiece, in this collaborative space. And of course, continuing to foster a love of learning and reading in the libraries. So, what are we going to call this space? In many schools are speaking of it now as a learning commons, kind of a mixed-use space, kind of like the community commons, to bring people from many different areas. And we want to do the same kind of thing for the schools. We want to establish a hub for the school community that encourages teachers and students to collaborate, communicate, and share. We were very lucky over the past year to visit about four different school districts. We went to Briarcliff, Byram Hills, Pennafly, and our neighboring school district. Can I have a glass of water?
Yeah.
It's so dry. We visited a number of school districts that really inspired us. It had some really great ideas and opened up a lot of great discussion within our technology committee meetings. And we came up with a lot of really good ideas. To further support this, and also the other initiatives that we have in the district, the other big recommendation that we wanted to put forward to the board tonight was the idea of a one-to-one initiative in the district. The idea of providing every one of our students with a mobile device, a mobile learning device, for them to work with through the entire school day, and perhaps even after school hours. I need my best work. One-to-one initiative. Okay. To support the curricular goals that the school district is hoping to, is seeking to accomplish. Okay. Some history, why one-to-one? In the district, originally general computing devices were found in labs, in lab environments. Students left the classroom on our schedule, maybe once a week, to have the opportunity to use these devices. The next step was to start taking those labs out, which we actually did in the Nyack School District, these general computing devices, and we wanted to get them into the classrooms. So classrooms started to have individual computers there. The next step was to disable the lab entirely, which we did in one of our elementary schools, and we replaced them with a cart of mobile laptops. So what we're doing all along with each step along the way is increasing the student access to these general computing devices. At the same time, the technology is getting more advanced, they're getting smaller, they're getting more mobile, they're getting easier to work with, they're getting more powerful, and the students are now getting a greater and greater opportunity to utilize the technology in their learning every day. So, step forward a bit more, the introduction of the LearnRactive classrooms in the district were accompanied with a number of mobile devices in each classroom. Teachers were getting much more experienced with using these devices in the classroom. And students also were getting more comfortable with using them in everyday activities as a general purpose computing tool. So the natural evolution of that is we want to now bring that access to every student at all times during the school day. What do we hope to accomplish with this? Some of the things we're looking to accomplish: enhance student engagement, more motivation, greater ownership of their learning, greater flexibility for problem-based learning, and the kind of environments that we're trying to create through what we're doing with the LearnRactive classroom. Greater sense of social capital through the collaboration that this new technology enables, and the fact that it's always accessible at all points during the school day. And of course, providing equitable access to resources for all students at all times during the school day and after school. We like to think of these devices now as the trapper keeper of the 1980s. I'm going back even further than the 1990s that we were alluding to previously. If you were there in the 1980s in school, you loved your trapper keeper. It was what helped you get through the day. And we like to think of these devices now as the trapper keeper of the 21st century, to help students to create and to build those executive functioning skills that they need to succeed in today's 21st century society. Keeping a schedule, tracking their assignments, taking notes, collaboration, to-do lists, sharing ideas, many different capabilities are enabled by having access to this kind of technology throughout the entire school day. There are still labs in the school districts, but they've changed. They're not general purpose labs anymore with general purpose computing. They're much more specialized, like the robotics program that Turner is working on, or the Mac lab and the CAD lab that the Inspired Dive program brought into the district. This is where you'll find specialty technologies or more advanced technologies. So students will still have the opportunity to work with those more advanced technologies, but at the same time, they have everyday general purpose computing at their fingertips at all times throughout the learning experience during the school day. We have some other recommendations that were put in there as well. These were our two main ones that we felt were our flagship ideas, the reimagining of the libraries, and then, of course, supporting that and supporting everything else that's going on, including the LearnRactive classroom, the other initiatives in the classrooms through a one-to-one program. So some ways that we're suggesting to deploy it. We want to really begin this deployment. We identified the elementary schools as the optimal place to begin the deployment. For various reasons, most importantly, we feel that they are at that developmental level to really benefit from having access to the kind of technology. It really sets the foundation for moving forward through the rest of their academic career. We plotted out a 5-year schedule for how we would bring in the technology. I mean, this is a large investment in technology. As Dr. Montesano mentioned earlier, these are considered in some ways consumable devices that have a limited lifespan. So we need to think about how are we going to deploy this equipment, knowing that it has a limited lifespan and knowing that that equipment is going to have to be replaced at some point in the future. We plotted this out, so over a 5-year period. Also, one of our assumptions and one of our recommendations in the technology plan was assuming a 5-year life cycle for these user and mobile devices. And the deployment would balance the investment over the 5 years. So there's not just one big bulk purchase, but it's a controlled purchase over the 5 years. This was our first option. We also presented to you, and you'll see that in some of the documentation that you have, two additional options that really delayed the deployment and reduced the initial investment. But of course, then the investment was greater in the following years. That's something we need to think about. Also, this is a 5-year plan. Again, we're going to reevaluate our plan every year. It's something that we want to be flexible and we want to adapt to. But you know, if we move into a one-to-one computing environment, we need to think that this is something we might want to commit to, and there may be additional investments over the years because these are devices that may need to be replaced at some point. Some of our other recommendations in the teachers, students, and community. We recognize that we need to develop a set of technology standards for the district. It was not something that we had at this point. And we also wanted this technology standards to be integrated into the existing curriculum. We wanted it to be developed in such a way that it was not a standalone set of technology standards, but standards that were infused into all the other areas of the curriculum. We also felt that it was very important to explore alternative methods of providing professional development. We felt that there was a real difference in the way that people learn and understand technology, and it needed to have a different way of learning the technology. And that one or two large professional development days throughout the year, while greatly appreciated, were really not sufficient to keep the staff moving forward. So we wanted to explore alternative ways of providing professional. We also recognize that having a growing base of mobile technology in the district gives us other opportunities to perhaps support our growing population of ELL students and non-native speakers. We want to explore ways to accomplish that. And also to explore ways to address the access of all students to the internet and to Wi-Fi outside of the school district. One of our early surveys recognized that up to 5% of the students don't have any access to the internet at home. So one of our recommendations was for the district to explore, again, alternative ways of establishing relationships or leveraging other resources in the community to provide access to those students. The technology that we were looking at, the Chromebook, was the device that we were recommending because of our already existing investment in it, plus the cost factor, and the ecosystem that's grown up around the Chromebook is affording a lot of different opportunities to teachers and students. One of our other recommendations was the idea to reevaluate our printing system in the network, in the district, to again leverage the network that we're creating, and also the idea of students all having a Google account, a Google identity they can use with their Chromebook and with the following printing. We're also looking at, I'm going to go over my 15 minutes, but also looking at the interactive whiteboards that the district made a really big investment in a number of years ago. They may be reaching the end of their life. They're starting to fail. Technology is really changed in those areas. We were lucky to have a demonstration from one company that came in and really showed us some of the opportunities and the potential of new interactive displays out there. Let's look into what our options are for improving or replacing our interactive whiteboards. And the recognition also that the technology is continually improving and evolving in our 5-year hardware purchase replacement cycle. And our last recommendations, first we went from some of the aspects of the curriculum and the community and the teachers to the actual technology, and now the team that would support this growing technology that's finding its way into the district. And two different areas. At first, the technology integration specialists, who are invaluable to helping teachers learn how to use the technology, to use it effectively in their everyday classroom. We already have a great team of technology integration specialists. We're suggesting adding a full-time integration specialist and perhaps finding ways to provide additional time throughout the day for them to work in that role. So exploring different ways that we can make that happen. And then, of course, the technical support side of the equation. With all this equipment that's out there, how do we ensure that it is always available to teachers and students when it's needed? And we recommend adding at least full-time teaching assistants to each school to support that, to each school building, and the addition of a full-time technician dedicated to and located in the elementary schools to make sure that the large increase in technology is finding its way there as well to be supported. And one idea, which we actually saw at one of our schools that we visited in Briarcliff, was the involvement of students into the support, the deployment, and the training of technology. Through some kind of internship program or IT clubs or various programs, other technology courses, involve them and give them a sense of ownership in being involved in the technology business. Of course, the remaining recommendations are in our technology plan document. You also have a copy of the deployment plan and also our cost estimate for the one-to-one deployment plan.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Any questions for the tech committee?
Two questions or comments.
Thanks for letting me go first this time.
Put down those Legos.
So I think you highlighted obviously some budgetary impacts, right? We'll have to hire some new folks. Have we given any thought to, and maybe this is not a question to be answered today, but are there any potential offsets, right? Are we saving on textbooks? Are we saving on something along the way that's going to offset the cost of bringing on, I didn't do a headcount, but however many folks we think it's going to take to integrate the technology into the schools. That was one thought I had. And then another was integration into the curriculum, right? You know, and maybe some of the teachers can attest to this now, when you see some of these kids on these Chromebooks, it's kind of like, you know, finger at a time. Do we anticipate any sort of slowdown in the learning process or in the way in which these guys are utilizing the technology that we give them is going to impact the way they learn, how quickly they learn? I mean, do we see anything in the classroom now that's sort of alarming in terms of, hey, we give them 20 minutes on a Chromebook and it's really not effective because they're kind of doing the finger typing and it's really not anything that's worthwhile? I mean, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like everyone's excited to use the technology, but that's one concern I would have about getting kids up to speed on how to use Chromebooks and typing and whatnot. So, again, not more comments rather than questions, but just figured I'd throw it out there because it's two things that sort of came to mind as I listened and read through the presentation.
Okay.
Anybody want to speak to maybe the second question?
Give them the mic.
Could you state your name for the podcast?
I'm Adam Berline. I teach 5th grade at Valley Cottage Elementary. Stan.
And he happens to have my son.
just today, I know there's a student who I know does not have technology at home. And probably September. There's a learning curve with every piece of technology. But just today, I noticed him working on a friendly letter. And, you know, typing completely not in the home row as we were taught in school. But I thought he was doing a pretty good job with what he was doing. But it's not, I wouldn't limit it just towards computing as typing. It's just more than that. But there definitely is a learning curve with whatever we do. The convenience of the Chromebooks are when students do log in with their username and passwords or their Google account. So that way, once they're logged in, they're into their Mail, their Drive, their Docs, which is probably more questions for me. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Mr. Merlin.
Are students even taught the traditional typing anymore, or is that gone? On the home row, is that? Does no longer talk.
There's no more IBM selectors.
There's no typing type working.
It's all pecking. That's all. Yes.
Sorry.
Watching my son text, I can tell you it's different.
It's all different. It's thumb row. Yeah. I was just curious.
And they're really fast.
Those days are gone. I think most school districts, you know, typically their high school courses in a business domain, you know. They're pretty obsolete.
Wow, makes me feel old.
Any questions, Jen Moschino?
Thank you. Great presentation. I don't think I understand the deployment chart. Can you just explain that? And do you would you get a Chromebook in kindergarten and then a student keeps that same Chromebook throughout?
Well, yes. That's actually really important to what we're thinking. That's an important aspect of one-to-one is the sense of ownership that a student gets of that device. So at certain grade levels, yes, they would get to keep the exact same device throughout their entire career. For example, at the high school level, if you look at the high school page of that chart, the colors indicate a particular Chromebook being issued to a group of students, and then that travels by it. So if you look at the high school chart, on the next slide. Ninth grade, they get them new. One-to-one, they're issued the devices. So that's their device that they can actually take home with them. They then keep it, and they use it in 10th grade, they use it in 11th grade, they use it in 12th grade. Then in the fifth year of the cycle, it goes back to the ninth graders. And that year, they're replaced with new devices. Same thing in our middle school. So that's how you would read the chart. You would follow the colors through the years to see where the device would go with the student.
Now I got it. That way.
We had a slightly different model in middle school where it was still one-to-one, but here you notice there's a word assigned. Okay. It was a decision of the other committee to recommend that students in the middle school level do not take the devices home. Okay. They leave them in school, but they still have ownership of the device. So at the beginning of the school day, they will pick up their device in homeroom and they'll carry it with them throughout the whole school day. And at the end of the school day, they'll stop back in homeroom for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and put the device away, you know, a secure location, and charge it up so that it's available to them on the next school day. And we went back to the elementary chart. It was a little different there. There, we were approaching it as one-to-one. Every student still gets a device. It's their device. They're assigned to them, similar to middle school. But because the schedule is different in the elementary schools and the middle school, where they don't travel to different places throughout the day, it's really taking the form of class sets, where every classroom will have a set of devices that the students will use. However, we're recommending that it be approached in a way that, say, you know, Stephen always uses device number 12. So that's his device. You know, he has ownership of that device. He wants to put a sticker on it. Decorated in some way. And that's his device to identify that that's him. We feel that the idea of having ownership of the technology is really important. And we're looking for different ways to make sure that that happens. You know, depending on the structure of the school, the development, the needs of the students, and what we feel the students are probably capable of at that moment.
So according to these charts, like the proposal would be in 2017 that third graders, fourth graders, and fifth graders would get Chromebooks, and then ninth graders in the high school. Got it. And do we have Chromebooks? You need to use the Wi-Fi.
Yes, they're very dependent on the network. They're almost like thin client devices.
Right.
There's not a lot of computing power in the device because it's all done out in the cloud. Mm-hmm. So they do rely on having a very robust Wi-Fi network available.
And
a lot of investments have been made.
I just know that my son, who's a seventh grader, they do use their phones a lot in school.
Yeah.
He is always having to use our data. I was actually a little bit of a problem because we are going over as a family. We don't have unlimited data. And a lot of it, he is indicating, is because he's always getting booted off the network in school, and it has to go off the Wi-Fi and just use data. So I wonder what, I don't know. Like, do we have the Wi-Fi?
There's lots of different factors that go into the networks. I believe they bring their own devices. When they use them, they use the guest network.
Yeah.
And the guest network has a 45-minute time limit on it.
You know, it's 24 hours. So if you log in today, tomorrow you have to log back in again. So because it's a guest network,
right.
They don't.
He is having problems, I think, just really getting on it. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's a phone issue, right? No, it's usually like, just something else maybe just to think about at one point, because it does become a little bit of a problem when you don't have data.
That's really important,
okay.
Though. We're going to put these kind of devices in schools. We need to have the underlying infrastructure.
I was about to ask, what's the experience with that amongst the staff, with the Chromebooks? Is it good?
Yeah, we're having great experience. Absolutely. And easy, fast, efficient for students and
for teachers, for sure. I'm sorry, ladies, could you use the mic so we can catch it on the podcast? Thanks.
Frankie White, Liberty. I think that the use of the Chromebooks has taken us to a point where we're actually collaborating more, not just within our buildings, but also across the district. So now what we have is, you know, the fourth grade teachers from Liberty working with the fourth grade teachers from Upper Nyack and fourth grade teachers from Valley Cottage. Whereas before, we would be limited to either just back and forth with emailing or having to wait until we had those opportunities where we would be together. So that's not just limited to staff, it's also with the students as well. So as we grow with our understanding and our use of the Chromebooks, the students will be able to also have that opportunity to work with each other. So they don't have to wait till they get to the bridges to now know the students from the other campus.
Frankie rehearsed that response on me.
Ouch. That's great.
Hi, Amy Leibel Ferrugia. I have also had great experience with the Chromebook this year. We have a set. Anyone who has gone through the IDE training, the Laddie Classroom. I'm a reading teacher, and I see my students sometimes only a few times a week. And so I'm actually seeing my students become more organized, much more self-sufficient. All of their materials are in one place where they can access in their regular classroom as well as their pull-out sections. So it really makes it a much more efficient process, and students really are taking ownership of their devices, collaborating with one another, turning in assignments that may have been lost in a book bag and are no longer, and that gives students such a sense of mastery over their own work. And we're having really good luck with the Chromebooks and the network this year, which is really hopeful for when we have more in our district. Also, just want to add to the one-to-one. We have a lot of technology already in the schools. So in addition to the 3, 4, 5 getting the new devices, the idea would be to relocate the existing devices so that more classrooms would have the technology, not just those 3 grades that are getting it, but more students throughout the district would benefit from the existing technology that the district already has. So,
thank you. Any further
just
questions?
One quick thing I just want to add while it's on my mind. You know, keep in mind that we're a public educational program here in the district, and the fundamental concept of this country was founded on in our democracy was public education to provide equal access to all, you know, for the opportunities for pursuit of happiness. And
in communities like ours, where we have such great diversity, not just, you know, racial and ethnicity, the economic divide is very, very wide here in this district. Other districts, you know, if you shift up to Scarsdale, you know, if the school district were providing Chromebooks, it would be a come down from what the kids have been having access to. Not all our kids, you've heard it, you know, have those opportunities. So the idea that, you know, we can furnish those opportunities, this is the world these kids are entering in, you know. And it's taken us probably longer to get ourselves into more of those digital platforms that the kids really are, you know, really, and you can just hear some of the ideas as to how this can enhance instruction. But don't lose sight of the idea that in a community like ours, it really, to me, further expresses our value and belief in public education, because it does provide a great equalizer with regard to the playing field that you know that we're on. So,
what?
I just have to say, I'm not a big technology fan. I felt like I sold my soul to the devil when I bought an iPhone and when I jumped onto the Apple iCloud thing. But I just, my kids have a different way of looking at technology. They just get it, they understand it, and they can use it. I mean, I used to joke that when I got that phone, I'd give it to Christina, 7-year-old, in the back seat, saying, please program this to do whatever, because I can't figure it out. And, you know, we bought my father an iPad for Christmas, and he's called 3 times and said, can I please speak to Christina? Because I need help with my... It's just, it's a different reality for them. I also heard a comment in when I went to back to school night, Mr. Wisner, social studies teacher, was saying that these kids, they're so used to these sensory inputs, right, that they can be listening to music and typing and thinking and working, and it's just they're wired differently. Like, I remember listening to music, I couldn't read the page because of, you know, it wasn't. So the fact that we're trying to tap into this and get all of our kids to be able to have these things. I know Chris is turning in her papers by clicking a button and sending it to her teachers. And it's, I know it's done. Something happens to her. Her assignment's not late. She calls, you know, wakes up sick in the morning. She can still turn her papers in. You know, it's like, it's giving them the opportunity to really tap into their strengths, I think. And I, the faster we can do this, I think we should.
No, this is fantastic. I remember last year, I think it was last year, I went to a NISBA conference up in Boston. Mm-hmm. Well, a year before, years ago. Yep. And we went over to the Cambridge School District, and it's a massive school district, but they're advanced in technology, and I don't think they quite had Chromebooks for everybody, but every kid in the school had access to a Chromebook. And the collaboration with the kids, just sitting around these devices, and I remember talking to some kids, and this particular class we went to were underrepresented and socioeconomically disadvantaged kids, and they were in awe. They were just so excited to have this opportunity to learn in a different way, to do research in a different way, you know, the ability to swiftly get on, you know, as opposed to a book where you're going to read through the book, find something, go find another book reference, like on the system, and it sped things up, and it certainly created some excitement for those kids, and you could see it as they're going through. It was almost an embarrassment interrupting them because they just wanted to get on with it. So I think that having this opportunity for all of our kids is just the way to go. We've spoken about it, we've envisioned it, and to see it coming to light is fantastic. I am personally excited about this. And the enthusiasm, yeah, clearly. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you. What was the budget for this year for it? You mentioned it early. The amount of money that's going to be dedicated.
Well, the Smart Investment Bond set aside is $926,000. I don't recall the number off the top of my head, but we would not be looking to access it in one big swoop.
Gotcha.
It would be
part of the phase. Yeah.
And the wisdom behind that is, as you know, if we went out and just purchased enough, you know, Chromebooks in 1 year,
you know, it's great the kids would have it for 5 years, and then in 5 years from now, where are you going to come up with that money?
Right.
To,
that's what I was.
Particularly now that we're going to have a director of robotics and the technology integration
specialist. Okay. Yeah. So you kind of that kind of answered the other part of the question because of your staffing, and you mentioned the team, and so I was just kind of looking at the staffing implications of that, and then. I, you know, some of the passionate discussions, did it revolve around security and privacy concerns? Did that come up in terms of those books that go home, in terms of that, I would imagine, and you've addressed those in your committee? All right.
Yes,
I'm assuming you did, but then the nods tell me yes, you absolutely did.
Absolutely, we did speak to that.
Yeah, because that was probably huge, especially at the high school level, and you're letting the books go out of the building, and so, okay. Thank you. Very good presentation. Thank you to everyone on the committee, and thank you for showing up tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Trustee Moon?
Yeah, thanks to the committee. Thanks for the presentation, Boyd. One of the things you mentioned right at the very end was a breakdown of numbers proposal.
Yes.
Is that something?
Thought it was on your board docs, but it may not
be. Presentation.
Yeah, it was another Google Docs question.
Just be interesting to
no, I apologize. I actually thought you guys had that. I'll get it out.
No, we don't. Okay.
And I would underscore also at that same national convention in Boston, I went to a workshop of a school, I think it was in North Carolina, not an overly affluent community, but they committed themselves to one-to-one technology, and they moved toward it, and they got there, and I can dig up some of that information if you're interested in having it.
As the board is aware, in our current proposed budget, it does call for a director of technology position for the district, which, you know, again, is a first step, and now you can see a little bit more as to the responsibilities that will be involved in terms of moving this plan forward.
The other thing that happened at that conference that I went to, and for the life of me, I can't remember who I spoke to, when we talked about the homes that won't have internet access, there was a community drive, and I forget who they did it with. It had to be some local company, but I'll see if I can find the business card to understand what they did to get the community to say it wasn't an encumbrance on the district to provide home internet access for all
the
district.
I've seen these devices, actually when the conference I was at, that the price points, I'm not sure what it's like, a hotspot or something. I want to say about, depending on how many you invested in annually, was a low of $9 an hour, $9 a year for an individual device to maybe $12, you know, someplace in that range. That, you know, if you have a small segment of a population that does not, you know, have the access to the internet, you know, you can kind of theoretically move forward and start. And I do know districts have done that. The other option, the committee, being sensitive to the, you know, the one place they were sensitive to the budget issue in terms of the board's constraints was. Recommending that, you know, setting up community hubs like an IX center, maybe the Walton Community Center, the libraries in town, those kind of places where kids could go to, complete access or get their Chromebooks, engaged kind of a thing.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Thanks once again.
A great high-functioning committee. They've done a great job.
Very much so. Thank you.
And just as we invited the kids to get home to their homework, if you have things you want to get home to, like your lesson plans. Thank you very much for your time. Boyd, thank you. Boyd, thank you.
Good night.
Take a cookie. Dr. Montesano, the budget.
Yes, there's really not a lot of new information that we have available with regard to our last budget proposal. The one point I did want to ensure the board was fully cognizant of in terms of what's happening in Albany currently.
Yeah.
And that is number one. Actually, I think it's the first time since I've been up in New York State where I've seen it occur.
One of the things the governor has prided himself on was bringing budgets to the forefront on time, which was the April 1st deadline. They have not had the occasion, which apparently my understanding is, and Carlene probably knows this, that it was kind of routinely done in years past, where these budget extenders would take place, meaning we don't have an agreement, let's keep working to kind of figure this out. So we're now at a point where the April 1st deadline date for the state budget is come and gone. And there does not seem to be any immediate sense that the budget is going to be approved, you know, in tomorrow or at least the short term. So to Trustee Marshall's comment earlier, while the state has the ability to extend and create new deadlines for themselves, the boards of education in the state of New York do not. You are under a requirement to have your budget finalized April 24th. I forgot the exact date of when the public hearing has to take place, but they're putting you in a position where we don't know where we have built this budget on the governor's proposed budget, you know, in terms of allocations for the state regarding foundation aid, recognizing that both the state Senate and the state assembly have put forth proposals above where the governor's position is. What an extender does really is puts us in the unenviable position of almost having to rely on, you know, current year's funding rolling into our budget, meaning we don't know what that number is and in terms of what we're going to have, the board is going to have available to us. So my sense is, and everything we're hearing is, it ought not to be anything less than what the governor's proposal is. Our hope is that it'll be above that. But this basically sets us backwards because, you know, as you know, we have to start putting together our budget newsletter to be able to come back to the board with a finalized budget. Mm-hmm. And unless they're able to get those numbers, you know, prior to the April 24th date, we're going to be in a very difficult situation in terms of what budget we're actually asking the community to vote on, in terms of what those numbers are. So if you've seen any new urgent emails from NISBA, or I know I've gotten a few from my organizations, you know, to contact your legislators, and I think Trustee Marshall may have already reached out, just to help encourage them to try to get to an agreement. And as Trustee Maraschino pointed out, there's a number of big items, you know, everything from the age of you know, juveniles being, you know, being tried as adults, etc., that are outside of the education domain that have to get settled. But we're hopeful that we are going to see some additional funding, particularly in the area of bilingual ENL education for districts like us that have excessively, rapidly growing populations, as well as, you know, getting a final number of what we know with certainty is going to be for that foundation aid. So it's a dynamic, fluid process. We're comfortable continuing on pushing forward the proposed budget that we have. And I still hold out hope that we're going to be making some final tune-ups into it, not to cut away anything, but to add into the budget in, you know, terms of what the final numbers are. So that's basically where we are. We'll continue to communicate, as you will, with each other about anything you're hearing from Albany, so we have a good sense of where this is going. But any efforts or you know, reach out, emails and of that sort to our legislators will be helpful. And I know that the ones that represent Rockland County are, you know, very supportive of getting this deal done.
Yeah.
So.
Should we consider sending something to our community members? Because while we can all make phone calls, there's only seven of us.
Well, at this point, I don't think it'd be wise to engage your community, because what are you going to tell them? Yeah. You know.
Call. I mean, I was just thinking, call and say. Exactly, the phone calls that we're making, to make the phone calls to say we need. I mean, our school boards are trying to put together their budgets.
Yeah, we can maybe try to touch base with our PTA council and see if they can, you know,
What I find to be the best way to do that is that we sketch out like a script, you know, email that they can just put their name to and send up there. But, you know, any, I get your point.
To have, because we can make all the phone calls we want, but there's just seven of us. I know other school board members are doing it, but, you know, as we keep hearing, there's and
emails,
powers
actually,
and numbers.
My understanding is emails are probably the most effective form of communication versus, you know, trying to make
They had said both. Like, when I was at the legislative PTA breakfast, they the legislator said phone calls on the weekends are even great to leave messages, and they kind of said whatever is easier for people, I think, is just as effective. I think just whatever you feel like you can fit into your schedule.
But in any event, that's kind of what the picture looks like at the moment. So I'll keep plugging away.
Trustee, I'm looking back at this email that we got from Junie Wiener, who's the legislative liaison for NISPA. And I just find it quite interesting that the regents are leading the charge in terms of aid increases.
That's not uncommon. That's what they do every year.
Really? Because like they're double the amount. They're
asking that's
for
not
twice
happening.
As much money as even the Senate and the Assembly.
That's not going to happen. And the Board of Regents consistently they're the advocates for public education in the state of New York, and I think they have a good rationale for what they're proposing. But that their proposal has not made its way into the Senate nor the Assembly.
No, they're like it's twice as much.
Yeah, so they don't have a seat at the table, you know, right now.
Okay. Any other commentary? Thank you very much, Dr. Montesano. Okay. Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on any of the action items? Do we have a motion to accept action item 4.2?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept action items 5.1 to 5.3?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second. Sorry. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel.
Yes, there is one individual I would like to take a moment to highlight and actually introduce the board to.
Oh.
We have in our audience tonight Anna Kalung Kagan. Kalung. I'm going to always refer you as Princess Anna. Just so you I am very, very pleased to recommend to the Board of Education Anna's appointment to Valley College to replace the retiring Annie Oakley in the physical education program. And many of you actually may or have seen Anna. She is a resident of Valley Cottage. She's a graduate of the Nyack Public School. She comes to you with a tremendous amount of experience in the New York City area of education. And along with that, she's been very active. She actually has had experience in Nyack as a coach and certainly will be interested in providing those services to our student athletes going forward. Graduate of Manhattan College in exercise science and also an MAT from Manhattanville. So I'm most pleased to recommend Anna to your attention.
All right, let's vote. And
she's well aware of the lip syncing experiences.
It's a requirement.
So, do we have a motion to accept action item 6.1 through 6.4?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Just that as a VCE parent, large shoes to fill for Annie Oakley, but from what we've heard so far, I think you'll do just fine, Anna, and we wish you the best of luck.
Princess Anna, welcome. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Congratulations and welcome to the Nyack School District. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We are adjourned.
North Carolina.